the mic.
Hey, top of the morning to you, Deesa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
I'm hearing the feedback. Why? Can I stop it? If I put it down? Yeah, well, put it down then. I don't want the feedback. Oh, Brother Joe? Okay, Brother Joe, I can hear now. I can hear now. You know, I am so glad and I am so happy. And I want to pray. I tell you what I want to pray. I want to pray that for those of you that are single, that God will send you your divine, godly orchestrated mate in the name of Jesus. You see, the devil cannot defeat a believer. He can only cause you to have stumbling blocks. But it really works in your favor if you and your spouse, and that's all it's supposed to be. In the kingdom of God, it ain't supposed to be no significant others, or it's supposed to be a husband and a wife, and they're supposed to be one. That means you have complete agreement. It is very important, brothers and sisters. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they both agree? That doesn't only mean your spouse. That means also the people around you. You've got to be in one accord with the people around you, because the devil, 9 times out of 10, I say this over and over, he's going to come and attack the closest person around you, that one that you confide in, that one on that keeps you talking so they can learn your business to sabotage you or to be used by Satan, to sabotage you or cause stumbling blocks or whatever the devil has to do in an attempt to stop and hinder. He can't stop it, but he can sure enough hinder. He can sure enough frustrate you to the point, and his whole purpose in that is to make you want to give up. He makes you want to give up. But look, never give up. Never, never, never give up. Never give in. And I know I watched the enemy a lot because, number one, I'm a commando and I've got to overcome him and defeat him in my own life. But because I lead truth, I've got to put plans implement plans to stop the devil. Now, the devil can only use what he knows, it. So it has to put extra ears around you and extra eyes around you so that the minute you least expect it, bam, you hit. And that's the way he does it. That's the way he's always going to do it. But the peculiar thing is, he never hits his own. He always picks, through the person that he uses to operate against you, it's always somebody that needs you the most. The person that he picks to come against you is always going to be the person that needs you or what God is operating through you the most. And the devil knows that, so he wants to utilize them to his benefit on both sides. Number one, he used them to operate against you. And then number two, they don't even know that they're operating against themselves, because by them yielding to him, they themselves have submitted to Satan and the devil and demons and witchcraft or whatever negative evil he's using. So the person will think, hey, find this scripture. It's in the Bible. He said, some of them will kill you and think they're doing God a favor. And what they're doing is they're heaping coals on their own head. Find that scripture too. Well, brother, if you experience it daily, it needs to stop. And we have to stop it. You see, they weren't able to get me off the radio blog talk this morning. I'm still here. And I'm on live and kicking. But you know why? Because God has already set in place what you need to overcome the devil and win. No matter what strategy they use, it might slow you down. And that's why you must not ever get bound by a spirit of frustration. You see, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, let your petitions be made known unto God. Well, not only prayer and supplication, but you got to put in place plan A, plan B, plan C. I knew I was going to get hit today some kind of way. Let me tell you why. Not mentioning any names, but a preacher came to see me. And they were, number one, you can't just walk up on me like that and think I'm going to pray for you, because I'm not. I'm not going to pray for anybody until the Lord tells me to, until I prayed about it. Because I'm not going to stupidly enter into no spiritual battle without knowing what the enemy is, who the enemy is, and what God is going to do to overcome that enemy. So a preacher thought he was going to, like, you know, just drop in, because this preacher happened to be pretty well known. I mean, very well known. Pretty well. Well, I don't know how well known. But anyway, they have a big, 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 big constituency. So the preacher started telling me the problems. And I told the preacher, I said, well, you know, I work by appointment only. It's not on my door yet because the sign man hasn't gotten around to putting the sign on the door and can't get the sign on the door until Wednesday or Thursday of next week. See, it's not like I'm in a big city like Atlanta where you got 10,000 people competing and you can get things done fast. So, you know what I told him? I felt sorry for him. I had compassion. I knew that was going to open the door for the devil for attack, but I had compassion. I said, number one, you can't just roll up on me like this. I said, it's a trick of Satan, and I know it. I said, but I tell you what. You go get you a hotel room, and I'll minister to you like I would anybody else over the phone. I said, you get to your hotel room, you sit down, you read, I mean, you look at the Gospel of John, and he said, well, I've read the Gospel of John at least 20 times. I said, but if you would have read it 21, and if you would have allowed it to read you, you wouldn't be standing here. There'd be no need for it. So anyway, they went and got the hotel room. You see, Satan wanted to unloose all those demons in here, and he wanted to leave a residue. But I finally, after 30-something years, I knew that tactic. So when the preacher called me from the hotel, I was dining up those demons. But I felt sorry for him because he was called of God. Like, you know, there are some people who, you know, my granddaddy was the preacher, my daddy was the preacher, and I'm going to be the preacher. And those are the ones that, you know, they have a lot of the spirit of entitlement, and got to watch out for them too. Because a lot of them have the spirit of entitlement and knowledge and don't have God's own Holy Spirit. So they preaching through knowledge and not through anointing. But they think, let me tell you about this preacher. This preacher, first of all, wanted to make sure I wasn't recording him. And I said, why? Why would I be wanting to record you? There's no reason for it. Not for me. I said, and if I was going to record you, I would ask you for your permission, and I would ask you to sign a release so that you couldn't come back later and try to sue me. And furthermore, I don't know if you all know it, but I have preachers, I have liability insurance. I have to carry $1 million worth of liability insurance. So I'm not going to be just jumping up here praying for everybody. How did I learn about that? Well, years ago, Dr. Frederick K.C. Price got sued. And he got sued because a woman came in his church, got in his prayer line, he laid hands on her, she went out under the power, said she hit her head, had a brain concussion, blah, 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 and she sued him. And I know lots of other people that have been sued. Another person has a religious camp a lady. Now, you go to a religious camp, you know it's going to be stones and rocks, and he's a Lutheran. A lady tripped on a rock in a camp and sued the Lutheran church. And I know others. I'm not going to get into it. So I carry insurance and a lot of it. And it's very costly. But I'd rather pay that price than get caught in some kind of weirdo thing. Anyway, this preacher is so greedy and so hungry for power, they made a contract with the devil. And the contract he entered into with the devil was that everybody that would come in his church and give in his offering thing and take his Holy Communion would be taking a communion sanctified to the devil and an offering offered up to the devil. But in return, they would keep giving in his offering, and they would keep taking his communion, which was unholy, and they would come under his spiritual authority. Well, as I started ministering to this guy, one demon came out. And then that old bad boy named Legion. Say, my name is Legion. We are many, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere, that demon said yesterday. I said, well, you know, you have a right, I guess, to be there. And if this man doesn't want to let you go, you have a right to stay. And I started praising and thanking God because it was a setup for me. It was a trap. So all of a sudden, I think what he realized is that I now knew what he was doing. And he started, the demon, I don't know what the demon was doing, but the man kept hollering, "Stop burning me, stop burning me." And I was so glad he wasn't in my presence. You got to understand, that thing wanted to transfer on me because it perceived a power in me that it did not possess. And it wanted it. And it wanted to strong arm straight up, bully, force itself into me or on me. So, Erica, now, what makes you think you're so special? It wasn't that I was special, but that's what he does to everybody in his church. He identifies God's virtue in them. He identifies the anointing and his assignment from Satan is to transfer his demons in exchange for the ability to copycat the person's anointing. He zaps them through a soul transference. And I'm sitting here and I'm fighting this thing. And I'm fighting this thing, and it just so happened that Brother Joe wasn't here, Jose wasn't here, and I'm kind of glad they weren't, because this was a demon that was so sophisticated that I knew it existed by faith, but I had never come face to face with somebody completely yielded over to that, because they wanted power so bad. You know what? The same thing. I will make you as God. They wanted to be God. And they want to be God over everybody and everything around them. And so then I'm fighting this devil. And the devil said, it ain't going to do no good. And I said, why? Because I got his wife. I said, I beg your pardon? He said, I got his wife. I said, well, how you get his wife? He said, simple. He wanted her. I got her for him because her family been serving me for 15 generations. I said, 15 generations serving you. How? He said, as a witch. I said, so this man married a woman that he wanted because she bewitched him in the first place. And I said, well, how did you keep the stronghold? And then he said, he had lust, she had lust. He had lust for power, she had lust for luxury. I said, what you mean lust for luxury? He said, that demon was talking. All women want to be taken care of. And he was lazy and didn't want to work either. But she wanted everything, all the luxuries. And I gave them to her. And I gave him her, and I gave her him. And I'm not going anywhere. So I came out to deliverance. Number one, I want to rest. Because that thing felt like this was the plan that it had for me. The plan it had for me was to beat me down. Made me so tired, I couldn't resist him. So I said to him, I said, now look, are you here for real? I know you've been tricked. And I know that everywhere else you've been, you have actually transferred on those deliverance people. And you left them with a residue of something not good. Meaning the demons in you are now operating in them. I said, you need to go through deliverance. Your wife needs to go through deliverance. Your whole congregation needs to go through deliverance. I said, but this is the key. I said, you don't have any repentance. You don't care what you've done to those people. You don't even care that right now, the reason you got to be delivered is your wife wants everything you got, and she wants you gotten rid of, and she went and boosted that witchcraft to take you out. And you know what he said? He said, I know you're right. I said, how do you know I'm right? He said, because something, listen to this, something has been telling me, and I haven't eaten at home in a year. I said, you mean you don't eat? He said, I don't eat nothing. My wife cooks. I said, she know it too. And she knows why. She knows why. So you don't have to. You know where it is? I said, it's in them stuff you take them bubble baths with. He said, how you know I take bubble baths? I said, you the preacher. I'm the deliverance minister. I said, but the Holy Ghost is real. I say, it's in your bath stuff, brother. It's in them oils you use. Brothers and sisters, the man started crying. I said, why are you crying? He asked me the stupidest question. He asked me the stupidest question I ever heard in my life. You know what he asked me? Has this affected my children? I said, brother, your wife is a witch. You a wizard operating in sorcery. Do you think your children are exempt from the actions of you and your wife? Well, he started crying. he started talking about, I'm sorry. I had to give him my spiel, brother. Tears don't move God, and they don't move me. I said, you need to repent, and you need to confess the fact that you're a witch. He said, confess it to who? I mean, this man was saying stuff to me that was so dumb. I was like, I know he couldn't be this stupid. Ain't no way he could be and have all those people he leading. But you know what? The Holy Spirit said, Erica, he doesn't know anything about the spiritual realm. Ask him, when did he get baptized in the Holy Spirit? So I said, when did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And how did you receive it? He told me the date, and he said, I said, how did you receive it? He said, another preacher told me to say, yeah, 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 yeah. I said, yeah. And I said, I'll bet everybody in your church says, I'm saying the yah yah part. He didn't say that. He went on to da da da. I said, I bet everybody in church had the same tongue you have, don't they? He said, yep. Yah 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 yah. I said, oh man. I said, what you have is you received the baptism of the unholy spirit. I said, don't you know demons can talk in tongues? He said, no. He said, I don't know a lot about demons, Erica, because my philosophy, that's what it told me, my philosophy is that I'm not going to worship the devil. That's what this man told me. I'm not going to worship the devil, so we don't talk about the devil in my church. I said, you know why? You don't have to talk about him. He living in you. He living through you. He breathing through you. And he done use you to bring all those people under subjection to demonic oppression. So you ain't got to talk about him. He talks among you. Maybe if you would have talked about him, he wouldn't have developed such a stronghold and have such a foothold in you right now. I said, I'm not going to minister to you another second until you call your wife. You call your wife, and if she will allow me to minister to both of you, I will. I said, but if I just try to minister to you, brother, without her having understanding, I'll be doing the devil a favor. And I said, how many other deliverance ministers have you been to in secret like this? He said, I have been prayed for by many other men of God. I said, well, what did you tell them your problem was? He said, I told them my problem was lusting after other women. I said, that might be part of the problem. I said, so none of them could help you, brother, because you never told them the truth. You never told them the truth. You never told them your hidden secret that you entered into covenant with the devil for what you wanted. And now it's time to break the covenant because the devil is a counterfeit covenant keeper. Because we're supposed to be in covenant with God. We're supposed to keep covenant with God. And he counterfeits everything of God. I said, call your wife. Tell your wife the truth. And I said, I'll give you about 15 minutes to do this. And you call me back. So he told her the truth. She told him the truth. They done rooted each other. They did witchcraft on each other. And I asked them both, because I put them on a three-way, if they were ready to break off all this witchcraft. And you know what the wife told me? She said, he made all my hair fall out. I said, I beg your pardon? All my hair fall out. She said, I have a big bald spot. I get it covered up through a weave. His witchcraft made all my hair fall out. I said, what else did it do to you? She said, I'm sick. And the doctors can't find out what's wrong with me. I said, so, really? I said, could you tell your husband what the devil whispered in your ear? She said, that wasn't the devil, that was the Holy Spirit. I said, ma'am, I know you're going to hate me for this, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. She said, I wonder why everybody got healed but me. Everybody had a happy marriage but me. She said, my own kids hate me. And I said, it's not without a reason, ma'am. It's not without a reason. You and your husband engaged in witchcraft against each other. How do you think you were ever going to come in one accord on anything? And she said again, he made my hair fall out. I just listened. This actually happened yesterday, and it was supposed to bombard me. It was supposed to cause me to walk in a realm where I would not be operating under my own spirit, but I would be operating under the spirit of a wizard and a witch. And the witch wouldn't have even known me if I hadn't asked her husband to call her up and let's get her on the line. Well, this took me about 5, 4.5, 5, 6 hours yesterday. One situation, but in the name of Jesus and by the power of God's own Holy Spirit, I cast them demons out. I cast them out to the point that both of them got scared because blood was all over the floor. You see, when a stronghold is that deep and that demon is insistent upon not coming out, I don't care what these people say about, the devil isn't supposed to be throwing people around and the devil ain't supposed to be doing this and the devil ain't supposed to be doing that. The devil will do whatever the devil can do and to whatever level the devil is allowed to do it at. That's what the devil will do. In case you didn't know, the devil is a rebel. He rebels against God. Ain't no order in him. Ain't no can't do, won't do in him. He'll do whatever he can do to whomever he can do it through. So I had to put off 2 other prayers, but I dealt with those demons. I dealt with them. And they're going to call us a prayer meeting. And I'm going down there to Atlanta, and I'm going to take everybody through his church through deliverance, and it's going to be a church set free. Mind you, I was supposed to be in Pensacola this weekend. I don't know how many of you know, but there's a meeting, a reunion of the Brownsville revival people, and it is great. It is great, and it's on God TV. God wanted to make sure I did not miss being there because I was on the list to volunteer, and they already had my job for me set up. So I couldn't go. Thank God it's on TV. So it's called Ignite the Fire or Start the Fire. Anyway, Fire. and it's on God TV. And I would suggest it would be good for you to watch it. Because some of these same people I saw at Brownsville, I was trying to ask Brother Joe, how many years ago was that? But I don't know, maybe 20? But they're old and white-haired like me. Now, Ignite the Fire on God TV. Thank you, Jessica. I really want you to watch that. The praise and the worship is outstanding because they've taken the old school and mixed it with the new school. And I love it. It's marvelous. But the preacher called me back and the wife called me back. Thanking Jesus. Thanking Jesus. And now they want me to mentor them. You know, I used to not like that. But I told them, I don't have time to mentor anybody. But I told them, if they're serious, get on the Fight Club. And I see them on here this morning. So that's why the enemy did not want this blog talk up this morning. I see both of them. I see her number and I see his number. And I thank God for you being faithful. And I tell you, your hair is going to grow back in the name of Jesus, because I'm going to pray in a minute. No, we never dealt with the hair. I never dealt with anything but their souls. You see, they now know how to get people out of what they used to put people in. I'm going to watch God set their church on fire for him. What got them in that problem is lust. Lust. Lust is the same demon that caused God to bring the flood upon the earth. If you look in the Bible, it says, talk about, Noah. It says that violence and lust was upon the earth. Well, yesterday, a force of lust was brought down, and a stronghold of lust was destroyed. We're going to see plenty of people get free. This kind of lust, it is straight out the Bible. Lust of the eye, all that is in what the world, this age, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Running rampant. But I can tell you this, he lost two of his soldiers in the battle yesterday. And for the first time in 30 years of ministry, hear me this morning, what God did for them, and he made me do it over the phone. And the person was right here, came right here, gonna bum rush me. It ain't going to happen. You see, the Bible tells you to guard your own heart. Some of you need to take heed to that. Some of you need to know who and why that person is sitting across from you or sitting next to you or sitting worse, even worse. I've had demons sit behind me and rattle my whole truck. And Brother Joe, the ministry truck is a SUV, a Suburban. I've had people in the truck so full of demons, the whole truck shook coming down I-77. After it shook a little bit, I just turned around, cast the demons out of the truck, and kept on going. But you know what? They weren't out permanently because the person who was in the truck had demons embedded in their heart. And they knew they had a heart problem. They knew it needed to change. But what kept them bound? Lust. Lust. They would not give up their love of lust. And that happens sometimes when a person has been molested, like the person who was causing my truck to shake, had been sexually ritualized and bred for that purpose. Those are the hardest demons to get out because they are actually hidden from the person that they're inhabiting or indwelling. And when lust many times is the enemy manifesting and operating through a person's soul, that lust puts them in a position where that lust tells them you're better than everybody else. Then what happens? They lust for people to serve them. You're better looking than anybody else. Then they lust for people to worship them. You're smarter than anybody else. Then they lust for people to that they can become subservient over because they think that they're intellectually superior. Lust does that. Lust runs into vanity. Vanity. But look what the devil does. He overcomes that with no self-worth, poor self-worth, low self-esteem. So then we got the devil causing a war in the mind of the individual that it's inhabiting. So in order for that individual to have any kind of self-worth, they have to put themselves over somebody. They have to, because it's all false. It's all a falsehood. And what the bottom line is, they don't like who they are. And they never can because they never met the real them. Because it's been so clouded over with lust. And you know what? In the Bible, it talks about burning lust, insatiable lust, lust that can never be satisfied. Until you can get to the root of it. This preacher and this preacher's wife, the wife was born into it. She was born a witch and didn't know it. The preacher became a wizard because he lusted for what? He wanted to be like God, power. We're living in a crazy kind of messed up time. And that is why some of you are catching so many problems. Because you got witches and wizards and sorcerers and shamans around you. They can see what's in you. And they can see what they're lacking, what they don't have. And if they can't see it in the natural, in their carnality, their spirit knows. Their human spirit knows, their soul knows, the body doesn't have body memories of something that it never had before. So what happens here is your spirit, human, unregenerated, begins to lust after what it sees and those of you that have all them gifts, they can see it. And they begin to lust after it. The difference is the only way they can get it is to bring you down, tear you down, or make you fall down. Find that scripture for me, somebody, where Satan says to Jesus, if you will fall down and worship me. Can you find that for me? If you will fall down and worship me. Fall down and worship me. That's what Satan said to Jesus in one of the Gospels. It's either in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, where he said, if you will fall down and worship me, fall down and worship me. You know why? Thank you, Jessica. Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. Fall down and worship me. See, when the preacher went to the devil, that's when his falling down began. When he already had it and fell down, and then the devil took it. Except you fall down, the devil can't do nothing to you. The devil can't. Anything the devil has to do to you, you got to be down or go down or come down or get knocked down. But Jesus told you. He gave you the solution to that problem. He said, stand. Stand and still stand. I think that's over there in Ephesians 6. Stand. Having done all, stand. Satan say, no, fall. Jesus say, stand, stand, stand. Satan say, fall, fall, fall down where I am. And I will give you. What can he give you when he down and you up? He can't do anything but bring you down. And once you go down, that's it. That's it. That was my day yesterday. How was yours? That was part of it. But that was one when the devil came in person, in the person of another human being, and I had to make a decision in the name of Jesus. My decision was, will be, and will always be, stand. In Christ I live, in Christ I move, in Christ I have my being. And guess what? Jesus won that battle. So now we got a preacher who is really wanting to learn spiritual warfare, really wanting understanding. We got a wife who can be the kind of wife that God made her to be from the beginning, but she was hampered she made the 15th generation. For 14 generations, it stopped yesterday in her family line. 14. Now, you want to know something interesting? Read the lineage of Jesus, and I think it says Jesus came after, what, 42 generations? 42. She only had 14 of the devil. This is why your genealogy is so important. 14 generations of serving Satan. And Satan just knew that was going to go on forever. This lady said when the demons came out of her, her next door neighbors came and knocked on her door because they was about to call the police to see if somebody was in there killing her. This ain't nothing. This is nothing to play with. lives are at stake, could be yours. And I always say, you know, I don't like Mormons. They're a cult, but they got one thing straight. They got the largest bank of genealogical history in the world, because that crazy man, Joseph Smith, had one thing right. He had the polygamy wrong, but he had one thing right about knowing your generation. Brothers and sisters, your problem may manifest from something in your bloodline. And last night, see, the other good thing about doing deliverance, when I lay down to go to sleep and I pray, God began to show me how this thing was working, how that had happened. Because the man, the preacher, only knew the natural aspect of what he had been through. God going to show him the spiritual. God's going to show him the spiritual. And this man, brothers and sisters, his culture was European. That's all I'm gonna say. His culture was European. His wife's culture was European. And man, we got a problem. And it's spiritual. And out of all those preachers he went to, he thought I was just going to be another notch on his gun, but not so. Not so. So I had an idea. I had an idea something was going to go wrong. I was praying it wouldn't. But because also I know I'm still ignorant to how all this stuff works, and I've got to learn how it works and how to work it, so I have a slight disadvantage. Unless the Lord, you know, I got to know how it works, because I got to know how to straighten it out when it go wrong. So I shared a deliverance and a read, and oh, I asked him for permission to tell his story, and I promised that I would not reveal his name or his wife's name because too many people know it. I wouldn't do it anyway. What good? Whoever you are in the flesh doesn't matter. What matters is who and what you are in the realm of God. That's what matters. But I know this story needs to be told, and I hope that they will pen a quick book just to get the story out about how the devil took advantage of them spiritually and made them a victim for over 40-plus years. For over 40-plus years. Because this man started preaching when he was about, I don't know, young, right out of college, when he got his first church through his denomination. Brothers and sisters, I'm sharing this with you in hopes that you will get some kind of understanding. That's what I'm trying to do every day. Every day. But one thing I know for sure, wow, you're right. Do I have your permission to quote what you just sent me in this text? I won't use your name. I won't use your name. God is delivering people of awesome things. I just got a text here. Those demons and curse in my family line was 2,200 years old. If a generation is 25 years, that was exactly 88 generations. How can you know? How can you know, brothers and sisters, except the Lord reveal it? You can use my name. Oh, you sure about that? Juliet is translating Tedline and said, person from London, text, she needs prayer. Prayer for what, please? Just tell me for what. Tell me prayer for what? Okay. Yep. Okay. Thank you. Number one, the person who told me about that was Brother Robert, right on this line, bearing witness to that. And I wasn't going to give his name or anybody's name without their permission. But you're right, Brother Robert. When we did your deliverance, those demons and the curse that was in your family line was 2,200 years old, 88 generations. So that's Brother Robert, and he got delivered from that. And he ain't ashamed to tell you his name. I'm glad. Then you know he's really delivered from it. Brothers and sisters, you're right, Jessica. God had me become an exorcist and had me study it, the difference between exorcism and deliverance, and operate in it. And ain't ashamed of it. That's how I developed that integrated healing prayer model. Because I got tired of people getting partial deliverance. This other brother I know, minister, you know, he I know that it works. You know, he you know what? A temporary fix and a Band-Aid on a demon make cancer. A temporary fix and a Band-Aid on a demon causes death. Why? A temporary fix and a Band-Aid on a demon is nothing but a parasite. Parasites. Parasites. They bite. Then they burrow their head in. Then they use their saliva to create blood streams and blood lakes in the human body. Parasites. Demons. Only they can manifest any way they have to. Remember what I said? Satan will use anything that he can to make you fall. And that's another example that tried to take me over yesterday. Satan wanted to reproduce himself in me. So he sent somebody that he had already reproduced himself in to me. And he sends them all the time. Only this one, glory be to God Almighty. God had a plan. And it, look, it wasn't able to leave a residue in my house. It wasn't able to leave an imprint on nothing. Zero. And I'm being very mindful. Ever since they hit my dog, I'm very mindful. Very, very. I done covered my house with the blood. And now I know you all probably think this is extreme, but it's not. It's not. Whenever I go to somebody's house to anoint their house, I find a way to throw some anointing oil on the roof. And in the ground. Because when they astral travel and do them soulless realm projections out of body, they gonna come in through a wall. Through, I mean, they're not stopped by a structure, but they're stopped by the blood of Jesus. How effective is the blood of Jesus? It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But it doesn't do anything if it's not applied and sprinkled. And it still doesn't do anything against the demons that are yielded because the body that they're in is yielded to the what? Age. To the what world, to the what devil, Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him. Same way he can change his name, change his character, change, he can change. Look, I'm going to say this again. The first devil that was ever cast out was who? Lucifer. Lucifer was an angel. And who cast him out? God. If God cast Lucifer out of heaven, what do you think you and I are supposed to do? What did Jesus do on this earth when he came to the temple and it was full of all these people operating under the new age? Money changers, pagan. Jesus cast them out of the temple. And he said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. He didn't cast out spirits. He cast out men that had spirits. He cast out birds and fowl that was supposed to be sacrificed. He cast them guys out that were selling ritual baths. The priests, check it out. They were making money. You had to undergo a ritual bath before you could go in the temple to celebrate the feast, and the priest was getting money. The Bible says study. Study. Everything you need to know is there for you. But you got to put your time in. You got to study. You got to ask God questions. I ask God lots of questions. And never normally about me. They're about, how does this work, God? How does that work? Why did this happen? Like, I'm asking him now, what did I really get out of this man's deliverance and his wife? And why did you make him, I know why, you make him leave my office, go to a hotel room, and I had to minister to him. God want to show me the efficacy of this technology so that it won't be working against me and can't be. It can be used for the kingdom and not against the kingdom. And he wanted to show me his power. He wanted to show me that the man didn't have to be here other than the fact that he was on an assignment from the devil. And this was a man of God, a purported man of God, and he is a man of God, but guess what? He had just fallen. And like God was saying, don't kill him off anymore. Just get him delivered. You got the power. Get him delivered. Turn him back from darkness to light. Well, I'm 24 minutes over. What do I want to, what have I hopefully conveyed to you? Know no man by the flesh. Begin to know men and women by the spirits that are operating through them. And understand this. You're going to get hit. Just get ready for it. Just know that it's not going to take you out. Sometimes you get hit in different kind of ways, but they're not going to take you out unless you yield to it and just go on out. Yesterday, I started the Holy Spirit, after all of this stuff, I began to study something yesterday, but Genesis 1:26, when God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, let them have dominion. God gave humans authority over every living thing upon the earth. God created something wonderful, something beautiful. And God gave authority of it over to us, who is weaker than himself. It was a risky decision. But the bold act of God transferred authority over the earth from God to man. The earth became our domain and our sphere of control. This is confirmed. Psalm 115:16. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. God, Jesus, his own Holy Spirit, have full control over the spiritual realms. The angels of God do his bidding without resistance. However, God has given authority over the earth to us. It was a big call, because once God gave us that dominion and authority, they couldn't be taken back. God already knew this, because God had said if they rebelled, they would be as gods in Genesis 2:5. They would not, speaking of us, we would not just have the power to decide good and evil, but we would be controlling a world that had previously been created by God. The tempter, Satan, Lucifer, whatever, told Adam and Eve that they would be like God. Brothers and sisters, this was a lie. This man that I cast all those demons out of, and his wife, you see, God had made Adam and Eve in his image, which, truthfully, is as much like God as possible. By God giving us authority over the earth, he gave us the ability to choose whether the world would be good or evil. Maybe they didn't fully understand the freedom and the authority that God had given them. Brothers and sisters, (clears throat) So they believed the tempter's lie. And they surrendered to this lie. Put this in the chat room. They surrendered to this lie to obtain something that they already had. And that's what happened with this preacher. This preacher told me God called him by name in an audible voice. You see, when God gave us humans that authority over the earth without recourse, he couldn't take it back. Even if they abused his authority, he could not demand, God could not demand his authority back, even if it was handed to the devil, just like with this man. One reason that Jesus had to come as a man was that authority on earth, hear me this morning, belongs to humans in perpetuity. Only a human being can hold that authority. So when Adam and Eve lost it, only a human being could take it back. And only Jesus can distribute that authority now. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? This man and his wife have to go through a series with God and them of repentance, complete and utter repentance. Not repentance because they got caught, not repentance because it was revealed to them that she was a witch from birth. And he was a wizard by choice. But you see, the Bible says godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow. I'm sorry. It's how it is. It's just how it is. Brothers and sisters, especially those of you that are, you know, have these gifts, you got to make sure that there's no defilement in place. Because the same way I tell you that he be dogging me is the same way he's been dogging you. Maybe the difference is being is that he hindered you somewhere along the way because you didn't know. And what you don't know can hurt you. But I have other people who say, look, I don't know what I don't have, and I don't know. I'm talking about in terms of defilement or demon spirits. Could you just take me through deliverance? Let's find out. If there's nothing there, nothing's going to manifest. Nothing for nothing means nothing. But if there is something there, it is defiling what's in you. It is taking what is good, what is clean, what is right, and what is holy. And it's got it dirty. It's got it dirty. And it's no reason, because the ability to be cleaned up rests with God. But you got to be so honest with God, for real. And the sad part is, God already knows. He's just waiting for you to come to him real, straight up. Because if any part of you is defiled, it causes you to have the need for physical healing. If any part of you is defiled, it causes you to have a need for spirit or soul healing. If any part of you is defiled, it requires you to have an a need for inner healing, which could mean you need deliverance, you could need an exorcism, but those demons have to be expelled, because if any part of you is defiled, that means that there's something in you that is unclean. There's something in you, it could be familiar through, like even Brother Bob, 2,200 years in a family line, 88 generations, and still causing problems in that family line. But not now, because he came here, God revealed it, he got free from that. And you know who's really, it's one demon. And this demon is set against any man, any woman called by God to do anything. And that's the messenger of Satan. You see, Paul said, there was given unto me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to continually beat me, continually pound and so forth. The spirits of the messenger of Satan, they have a job, and their job is to make you fall and to keep you falling. Their job is to reproduce Satan in you. Their job is to do whatever it takes for you to have to live in a fallen state. You don't need it. Nothing from the devil means you any good. Okay? So now I know I got to turn my phones in for some new phones. Tell Jessica, look, I will schedule this lady for prayer, but it won't be right now. It won't be right now. The reason being, the Holy Spirit dictates the prayer. I know I said it again, and the Holy Spirit took it a whole other way. Because I wasn't going to talk about this preacher and his wife's deliverance. I wasn't going to talk about it. Because I can assure you, I don't even know the half. But I know this. Do not call me. Do not come around me if you like your demons. If you like being demonized. Don't call me. Don't come around me, because if you come around me, God gonna reveal your hidden demons. The ones that are operating without your knowledge, the ones that are operating causing you the worst problems. And you probably aren't even aware of it. And then you're gonna end up hating me. I'm gonna be your enemy. And you know what? Time out. Time out for that game with the devil. Brothers and sisters, embrace your freedom. Desire your freedom. Go after your freedom. Because anywhere that any devil is in you operating, it is foul. It is unclean. And guess what? In the long run, it desires death. Your death. Because the Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his ultimate goal. And what does he want? He wants your spirit, your soul, or your physical body taken out, so you'll be one less hindrance to him. And he can counterfeit and steal your anointing, the virtue of God resident in you and me. Stop him. Get yourself as free as you can be. And then God will work through you for your good. You hear me this morning? I'm telling you, it's a beautiful day. I want you to have a beautiful day. I want you to come back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday, I think. Why don't you do this? See if I'm lying to you. Ask God if I'm telling you the truth. Ask God if I'm lying to you. If all this demon stuff is a lie. And ask him. Some of you don't think you have any type of demonic problem. I'm here to tell you, you were born with them. You were born into sin. You were shaped in iniquity. And behind every sin is a demon. So you say, well, Erica, you know, another person said to me, some people believe that demons are everywhere. They are. They are. You know why? Because people are everywhere, and demons are in people. I'll see you tomorrow on the TED Line.
Wake up and smile, cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. This child away, strong in the faith. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to. Cause I can't let it stay go, can't let it stay go by without thanking you for the joy that you bring to my life. And ooh, there's something about the way your sun shines on my face. It's a love so true I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When trouble seems to rain on my dreams, it's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still a refuge that I've just got to get to. So I won't let it stay go, won't let it stay go by. So put the drop top down, turn it up, I'm ready to fly. And I'm about to get my worship on. I'm gonna sing a prayer.